The most challenging thing to do is be vulnerable and honest with yourself. The type of honesty that makes someone feel embarrassed and ashamed to admit. Sharing those truths out loud can be debilitating. Overwhelming fears crumble inside of you when you think of someone knowing the most intimate, deep, and dark secrets in you. But still, I want to get naked with you. All aboard to Chatting with Charity. Today's destination is Let's Get Naked. You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity. Hey, riders. Welcome back to the only podcast that takes rides that change lives. I'm your girl, Charity, and I hope you're ready for some love and basketball fun as we take shots and get naked. I don't literally mean naked, but I'm talking about let's just bear it all and be honest about the things that we don't like about ourselves and what does God say about our nakedness and our honesty and vulnerability. I wanted to have this ride with you because a lot of people on my Instagram value my vulnerability, but they don't understand that I find freedom in my vulnerability. I don't find comfortability. I don't feel good when I share things, but I know that if I put it out there, the enemy can't use it against me. If I put it out there and I tell the Lord and the people around me what I'm dealing with and how I feel, I'll find comfort in that instead of isolating myself and being closed off and being tormented with those thoughts alone. I'm already a very lonely person. I spend a lot of time alone with myself because I don't have family and I travel and move so much that I'm constantly finding myself lost and not able to connect with people and build these long relationships. Even if people want to build relationships with me, I'm still learning how to even do that because of the fear of losing people that I love. That's a whole nother ride. But for right now, we're getting naked. And I think with that last statement, probably just took a t-shirt off because that made me feel uncomfortable to even admit. And I wasn't prepared to say that. But the truth of the matter is that this idea of being naked comes from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. I always read this chapter because every time you try to come back to the Lord, you always start with Genesis, and that's not the way you should read the Bible, but most of us tackle the Bible from the beginning. And what's so precious about this Bible that we love so much is that every time you read it, it kind of ministers to you differently. I wasn't expecting to understand the Adam and Eve story the way that the Lord helped me to understand it, and this is how I got to this ride. So the first book of Genesis talks about, obviously, God creating everything and then Adam and Eve showing up and the duties that they had in the garden, right? But this is also where the fall of men happened, and all of our devastation comes out of that particular chapter and period. What was interesting to me is that in Genesis chapter 3, where we talk about the fall of men, there were some key things that God said that I never really realized. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 13. And then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?" When I read this passage, I was like, whoa, I totally missed this part of the Bible. Wow. So you mean to tell me that man was made pure but became sin in that moment? So in a way, it was like Adam and Eve did not know sin, yet they were surrounded by sin. And because they partook in sin, they became sin themselves and had to now walk with sin inside of them. This part to me was very interesting because it made me realize that a lot of our nakedness is not due to the things that are happening around us, but almost our shame of the things and the decisions that we make. We were born into this world in sin because of this particular incident that happened, but the nakedness that we feel comes from us doing the exact same thing on a daily basis that Adam and Eve did in that one moment. When we zoom into Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Then the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked." Isn't it crazy how you don't know you're doing something bad in the moment? It's so pleasing and good and wonderful. Then after you go home and you recollect yourself or you sober up, you're like, wait a minute, that was an absolutely bad decision. Like, I didn't mean to do that, but you've already done it now. And you can't unsee, you can't undo. You just have to experience that awful moment and lament in the fact that you really wish in your right mind you would not have done that. But that's kind of the experience that Eve and Adam had. They did something they knew they shouldn't do. When they did it, it was pleasing. And when it was over, a bad feeling showed up. Oftentimes, when we sin against God, and we know deep down inside he told us not to do that, a bad feeling comes up. You start to, like, I can't sleep. You know, you're like, my life is going into this, into that, depression, anxiety, all of these weird things start to manifest because you know you sinned against God. Then what also intrigued me about that same section in chapter 3 in Genesis is that evil already existed within the earth because Satan was in the garden. We pretend like in this atmosphere, everything was always Gucci. No, sin was already here. Sin occupied here. But God allowed us to come into this world without seeing the sin of Satan. That's how much he loved us, was that he wanted us to live in purity because at the end of the day, he's the creator of all things and he was not going to let this go to waste. But in that moment of sin with Adam and Eve, we came to realize the duality of this atmosphere, the good and the bad of it. And in Genesis chapter 3 verse 22, it says, "Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil." I was just like thinking to myself, well, God, why would you put us in an atmosphere of good and evil? Why not just put us in a place that had no evil? Why not just create a world where Satan did not exist in that world? Now, those are questions that we ponder on and find revelation in as time goes by, but it made me want to really understand the mind of God, because a lot of the times, because we're made in his image, how we move and operate and have our being is directly connected to the nuances about him. It's directly connected to how he thinks. And it's strange to feel like you can love a person that would drop you into a world of sin. But this same exact God created a covering over us where Adam and Eve didn't even know that they were naked. They didn't even know when they were in the garden doing what they were supposed to do, living in purpose, that they were naked, like anything was going on. And that's that peace that a lot of us lack, is feeling like we don't have a whole bunch of baggage that we're carrying with us, exposing to people, showing to people, and just feeling very dirty. And so we need to cover up so people don't see our yuck. I hope I'm saying this the way the Lord gave it to me, because to be very honest, sometimes you could have a revelation when you are in your book studying it, and then when it's time to share that with somebody else, you totally miss the mark. But I believe the Lord is going to help me through this and edify me so that the way he speaks to me, I can help you understand this God that's so amazing. So anyways, let's get to the next verse that I really thought was beautiful, which was Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And it said, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them." It's crazy how in the beginning of the chapter, their eyes were spiritually closed. They didn't see their own nakedness. They commit sin and then their eyes open. When their eyes open, they realize they're naked. Remember when I was telling you we often do bad things, then we come back home and we think about it. Now our eyes are open to what we just did and that higher consciousness of, oh my goodness, I just did something really bad. And then you come back down and you lament and you hide from God because you feel like, wow, did something really bad. That's why a lot of liars keep lying, because they're afraid to admit. But the thing about lies is that eventually you can't hide them. Eventually they become too plenty and you're wearing them all over you that people can see that you're a liar. But even the best of liars, when they go home, they have that feeling of, I know what I'm doing is not right, but I'm so ashamed. I'm gonna stay in hiding. And I also found it very interesting that in God's disappointment of Adam and Eve, he did curse them. but he loved them enough to try to restore their virtue by covering them with physical clothes because now their spiritual eyes were open. That he didn't want them to feel that shame. He didn't want them to feel that iniquity. But now we were going to travel down a more difficult road because I can't undo and make you unsee what you've already seen. Your sight is like one of the most precious sensory. People always say you'll never forget how someone makes you feel, but you'll never unsee what you already saw. You'll never be able to undo what you've already done. It made me realize that if I'm to obtain true healing, if I'm to obtain true favor and mercy and live in this life of abundance, I need to accept my cover up. Okay? I need to accept that I've done these things, but God is able to restore and make me new. I need to be able to admit my flaws and come before God and come out of hiding. Come out of hiding to my friends. Come out of hiding to the people that I love. Come out of hiding to the fans and the people that know me randomly. I don't know why I just called y'all fans. Child, I don't have no fans. But to the people that follow me quietly, to show you the truth about what my life is actually like and to allow that nakedness to create a new experience for me. Allow me to live in the peace of that restoration instead of trying to hide from the world because I'm afraid of what people are going to think if they know what I've done. When I was meditating on this particular chapter, it made me realize that we get God wrong all the time. And that's why I asked you for the permission for us to get naked so we could have this exact same moment that Adam and Eve had and be able to confess our sins to each other and receive their level of covering, to receive that anointing, to receive that ability to say, you made this mistake. I'm very disappointed in you, but keep going. And not to continue to self-sabotage, to replay it in my head, to assassinate myself and destroy my own virtue and character because I can't forgive myself even though God has forgiven me. And I wanted to pinpoint a couple of points that I think are valuable personally to this story that I just shared with you. And it's that when we hide from others and God, when we're naked, it's the same exact time that the enemy comes to find us to strike, to kill, steal, and destroy. You do something bad, you feel bad about it. Cool. Take a second like David did. You cry out to the Lord, ask for repentance. You get back up and you keep going. If you stay in hiding and you do not confess and keep moving, the enemy is going to locate you. He is going to locate you in your brokenness. He is going to locate you in that space where when you come home and you close the door and whatever you do in that bedroom that you think the Lord isn't seeing, the enemy is on his way to you. Part of the reason why God was even more disappointed with Adam and Eve is because they thought they could hide from him. They were hiding from themselves because they saw their nakedness, but God already knew they were naked. He knew that they were naked. So when we discover things about ourselves that are not the best and things that we're not proud of, and we feel like, man, God can't love me like that. He actually already knows you are that way. But your embarrassment and your hiding is what makes him infuriated because he cannot use a man that is afraid to communicate, afraid to admit, and afraid to address, restore, and grow, and continue to be what God has called you to be. You think Adam and Eve just decided to go and cry? If that was the case, humanity would not be here. You still have a job to carry out. You still have something that the Lord has called you to do. And in your insignificance and in your downfall, do you think Adam and Eve like the fact that every single time somebody reads Genesis, they are so disturbed and blame everything that we go through on these two people who literally committed one time what we do every single day? Every single day. Yeah, they had nobody to beat them up. Yeah, they had nobody to be frustrated with, but their life did not go peachy cream after that. Once they had a can, you got to read the story. They really paid for the consequences of their sin, but we still chastise them as if they didn't make a human mistake. And that's what we do to ourselves as well, is we hide, we replay multiple times, and we condemn ourselves twice the amount of times that we repeat it in our heads. And it made me realize that in all the time that I've spent alone, where I felt like I had the most, I hate to use the word depression because I do not speak things over my life, but I was just in a low place where I really felt like Yes, God was with me, but God was not going to take this from me. And I was so sick of all the cups, the heavy cups, and all of the sacrifices that God was asking from me, that it made me feel like God didn't love me because he always allowed the devil to have access to me. And what I've come to realize right now in this journey and in this moment is that the reason why the enemy has had excessive access to me is because I never took my covering. I never decided that the Lord forgave me. I never decided that I was made new. I never decided that I could wake up today and be the version of me that God wanted me to be. I just kept assuming that every single bad thing I did that was piling up on the next is exactly who I was. And it doesn't matter if I asked for forgiveness, repentance, fasted, or prayed. When I looked in the mirror, I still saw the version of me that did all of these horrible things. To think that one day I could be on a platform with very, very many people concerned about the tabloids that could be written about me saying Charity has done la, 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 la. The embarrassment of that, that shame, that iniquity, the things that I did behind closed doors that hurt people's families, hurt myself, just so many things. Nah, I ain't kill nobody, please. Like, let me stop acting like I done did some strange, crazy things. But I'm just talking about, again, those things that we don't want people to know. Those things that we know if it hit the front of the newspaper, you are not getting out of your bed for at least a week. That shame and that embarrassment is what God desires for us to deal with today, because you cannot get to your destiny worried about your past and what people are going to say about you when that person has been dead and gone once you've repented and became new. That God has given you a covering and an opportunity to be a better version of yourself, and you need to walk in that and allow that new version of you to be clean, to be restored, and to be new. It's difficult for us to see ourselves the way God has seen us because of the multitude of sin that we've committed. But what's interesting is that when you think about this incident being the first like real issue in the Bible and where sin and the fall of man began, you have to think about why Jesus came. Why did Jesus come and sacrifice his life again? If Adam and Eve received covering, and I like to believe that God was not happy with just what was going on, just unhappy with how that one decision destroyed his plan. So he decided to come down himself and fix it, because to cover you is not just enough. God was willing to lay down his son to make sure that he showed us just how loved, wanted, and valuable we are. That after all the iniquities, all of the complaining, all of the rejection, all of the frustration that the Israelites had leaving out of Egypt, and just the journey that we've all traveled in life with God, and the lack of respect that we have for his daily sacrifice to love us, he still came down and laid his life down. Why are we not able to love ourselves through all of our transgressions the way God loves us? Why do we wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and we just see all of the nasty versions of ourselves that God never acknowledges? He does not acknowledge our sin. He only asks that we repent, get through, grow, and have a testimony and carry people along into a better journey through Christ. That we all make mistakes. We all hide things. We all have issues. And because we all have them, we should not be constantly self-sabotaging our futures because we're afraid to live a purpose in light. So we stay in darkness, hoping that if we are hidden, nobody will know. They know. They know because they're also dealing with the same exact thing, and if not worse. So why do we feel that we can't choose the path and the life that God has created for us? It made me think about the Michael Jackson song, The Man in the Mirror. And one of the lines says, take a look at yourself and then make a change. When you look in that mirror, yes, you see the version of yourself that has done despicable things. Look at it and then make a change. Decide to be different. Decide to be better. Decide to be the version that God created you to be. Now, I found myself wanting to talk about this again, I told you guys, because I've been trying to peel more layers off myself so I could be more authentic and honest about the things that I'm going through, because I feel like I'm trapped in a box in a way, and I'm battling a lot of my past because I do carry it with me, and I mention it boldly, but it doesn't mean that I've accepted that those things are not a part of me. but they are. And they play a heavy role in my life, these mistakes that I've made, because I carry the guilt and the shame. And that guilt and that shame in my private time makes me hang my head down low. You might see me as confident, but when I get before the Lord, I am a baby weeping and crying because I am not happy with the quality of my life. And God is like, what life are you talking about? I've forgiven you for those things. Why can't you forgive yourself? We have things to do. You can't harbor on the things that people have done to you the same exact way that they are not harboring on the things that you have done to them. Because if they did, I'd be dealing with you more harshly. And that's the truth. Forgiveness for ourselves and forgiveness for others' transgressions allows us to move in this perfect harmony, in this peace that God requires. It cut off, but we're back. I was journaling in my God's Vision journal, and I started to write down the truth about how I see myself. And that's one of the questions in the journal is, what do you think about yourself? What does God think about you? And what do the people around you think about you? And when I started to really say what I think about myself, those words were so hurtful because I would never put that on my Instagram bio status. I would never say you're a dirty girl. I would never say that you're deceitful, you're a liar, you're a coward. I would not tell y'all that under my caption post. Now, I might have used it for colorful language and clickbait, but I wouldn't allow people to believe that that's actually how I feel about myself because of the things that I've gone through. A lot of the relationships I've been through, child, they've been through me because they done dragged me back and forth. But a lot of the relationships and the people that I've been with have been able to have access to me because of my lack of self-worth. I had a guy say to me that no man, okay, no man wants a woman like you because you don't value yourself. And now the irony about this is that's why I'm with you. Because I pick men that have no value of me or any integrity themselves. Just two toxic bonds. But I sat back to myself and I said to him, I'm not going to allow someone who doesn't know me to speak over me. But then when I got home, it lingered on me and it made me wonder, how many times have I heard that? How many relationships have actually ended because somebody said to me, Charity, no one's going to be with you. Nobody wants to be with a woman like that. Now, I think I'm a great person. I feel like I do the work. I try my best. And I'm like, what is it that they're seeing? What is it about me that's so distasteful? Like, what did I do? How bad of a person am I? And when I started journaling, I realized that I might show up on social media as a beautiful Black woman, entrepreneur, trying to do whatever to get the contenting so I can get me some money. Child, we need the money, Lord. But in my private life, the version of Charity that I allow people to see if they have access to me is a self-doubting, low, unvalued woman. And all the rejection that I've kept saying is for God's protection is on my back, and I'm heavy. I think I'm hiding it because I got lashes on, makeup on, and I talk well, and people can see my accomplishments. But at the end of the day, within about 30 minutes of spending time with me, you will see all of my iniquities, all of my scars, because I've not accepted God's covering. I've not accepted and believed that God actually loves me despite everything I've done, and He doesn't even see it. So why can't I love myself the way God loves me? So I've started to write down all the truths about myself that I don't like, these mistakes that I've made. And I'm going to be intentional on praying about those things. Because if I can go before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry that I've slept with married people. God, I'm sorry that I have a kid out of wedlock. God, I'm sorry that I spoke poorly about that person. God, I'm sorry that I just gave my body away to people because I'm afraid of love. Instead of just doing the work, I sabotage my temple more. God, I'm sorry that I can't seem to see myself the way you see me. But if I can write these things down and go before you and ask you to show me the version of me that you love, and I'll accept her. That's the truth. That's where I'm at right now. There are things about you that you might go through in your time of loneliness and quietness, thoughts that you have, desires that are unpleasing and unsatisfying. satisfying to God or yourself and things you just can't break loose from. I promise you, you're not alone, but it's time for you to get naked. I've gotten naked with you. I've told you things about myself, insecurities and challenges that I'm going with. And I've been honest to say that I've been playing front, but I'm working on myself to be exactly what you see in me, to be able to show up as a version of me that God created. Are you going to get naked? Are you going to become the version of you God created and accept your covering? Or are you going to stay in hiding? Hiding from yourself because the rest of us and God see you. I know this ride was tough because this self-care mental health journey is very mental. It's very difficult and it takes up a lot of your brain cells. And I'm like, what? Like how long I gotta be in therapy? How many journals I gotta write? God, when does this balance? But the days and times of this world now are evil. And I don't see them changing anytime soon. So we're gonna probably make a lot more mistakes than we wish we would make, but the covering of God is real and it is there. Confess your sins, go before the Father. Repent, pray, sacrifice, fast. But whatever you do, never forget your covering. Well, riders, we have reached our destination. It was amazing riding with you today. I hope you enjoyed getting naked with me. I hope that this blesses you and that you'll share this with somebody else. And until then, we will see you soon. And don't forget to grab your God's Vision Journal. Yeah, better stop playing with the Lord in this season and be blessed. Don't forget to grab your journal. Love you. Bye. Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity. And don't forget to bring your friend.